differently than the word of truth, and he puts time in with prayer, with fasting, and I'm thankful you're here tonight. Brother Kennedy, would you come? Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise as he comes?
It's an honor to be in God's house tonight. I love the Lord with all of my heart. It's important that you love the Lord with all your heart. And it's funny how long it takes you to figure that out. But it's one of those things you learn by walking down the road. And I give honor to my pastor tonight and the ministry of this church. We've got some great men of God in this church. Men that love the Lord, love the Word, have devoted their life to it. And that's exactly what it takes. You can't just do it whenever you feel like it. It's got to be something you're sold out for. And let's turn to Luke chapter 9, one verse of Scripture. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom." I remember the first time I heard this verse. As a young teenager, probably 12, 13, 14 years old, something like that, the conversation with my father came up and talked about somebody that just quit coming to church. And as a young person, I didn't realize it was like a devastating thing for me for somebody to just suddenly quit coming to church. And my dad quoted this verse of Scripture to me that no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And tonight, Lord, give me this, and I want to deliver to you what the Lord has given to me. I want to talk for the next little bit about the pitfalls of Plan B. Let's pray together tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your plan for us. Thank you that you are with us, Lord, that you have given us the promises of your word, that you will never leave or forsake us. God, that you have given us the Holy Ghost, that power to make it one way or the other. God, I pray that you would be with us tonight. Lord, give me the words to say. Give me what I need. Help me to give this that you have put in my heart. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. The word pitfall is not one that you see used very much. And I had heard it, but I needed to look it up and see exactly what it meant. And basically, a pitfall is a lightly covered and unnoticeable pit prepared as a trap for people or animals, and it's also any trap or danger for the unwary. That sounds like something the devil would do. He likes to put those things in our path that catch us unawares. The scripture talks about things that will take us unaware and how we need to be careful that the devil would not surprise us. And that we need not be ignorant of his devices. For many years, for about 25 years, I worked in computer industry, IT. And the last 10 years of my career, I worked in disaster recovery. And disaster recovery is not something that's done by accident. I was talking to Brother Jett about disaster recovery, and there is a term they use, and I couldn't remember the exact phrase, but basically you have a disaster recovery plan that you will take all of your backup data and you'll go to a location where you don't normally do business, and you'll take that and restore it to a computer to see if you can replicate your entire business from ground zero. In case of a disaster, you recover all of your business. And there is a big need in the business world that people have a good disaster recovery plan. They do practices where you will see how successful you are. There are evaluators that will look at your business plan and make sure you're going to be able to operate business after the fact, and they'll give you guidance on what to do, things you can change along the way. There was a story, there's a publication called Disaster Recovery Journal, and there was a story after 9/11 about the World Trade Center. The company I worked for at the time had an office on the 78th floor of the North Tower. And the article said that in this disaster, nobody knew how bad it was, but they knew it was going to be bad. And there was a small company in the World Trade Center that on the way out the door, the secretary had the presence of mind to pick up the backup tapes, stick them in her purse, and exit the building, not knowing that in just a few short minutes, that building was going to collapse and that they would know there'd be nothing to go back for. And the story went on to say that the very next day, they got off site, took out those backup tapes, restored business, and were running in a few short hours. History tells us that there were plenty of other businesses that went out of business because they did not have a backup plan. Having a backup plan is really, it's a good idea, and it can be a bad idea as well. We're going to look at that tonight. There are backup plans for a lot of things in life. I was in the Air Force in the mid-80s, and I worked on fighter jets. And there's a backup plan for a man in a fighter jet. Yes, there's a backup plan. It's called an ejection seat. However, we had an incident in Germany where somebody was working on an F-4. Somebody pulled the wrong lever. The seat ejected with a jet sitting in a hangar and took the guy right straight through the ceiling and killed him. And, and I was doing a little research on that. That's happened more than once. There's been many different situations where people have been killed by their backup plan. It got used at the wrong time, didn't quite apply to what they needed it to do. And so the ejection seat did its job the way it was supposed to, but it was at the wrong time in the wrong place. This gospel, this church, does not need an ejection seat. You don't need a way out of this. This is the way out. Some of you may have heard of the famous Flying Walendas. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of them. They're acrobats and do a lot of really interesting things. Come to find out, it is a seven-generation family of performers. And interesting enough, somewhere about the middle of that, three or four generations ago, the grandfather fell off of a high wire and it killed him. Well, this great-grandson of his, whose name is Nick Walenda, on June 23rd, 2013, attempted to do something that's never been done before. And I think the guy's crazy, if you ask me. My wife and I have had the privilege of visiting the Grand Canyon, and all of you that have been there know that it's a long way down. Well, Nick Walenda had a cable strung across a 1,400-foot span of the Grand Canyon. It was a gorge off the side of the Grand Canyon. I don't care if it was a gorge. I don't care if it was close to the Grand Canyon. It's still a long way down. And the cable was 2 inches in diameter. It was 1,400 feet across and 1,500 feet above the ground. And the problem is you get out in a gorge like that and you're going to face crosswinds. So the story says that he was facing winds up to 30 miles an hour walking on a 2-inch wire. The worst thing about it was he didn't have any backup plan. He wasn't tethered. He didn't have anything to fall on if he was to lose his footing. Now, that man was sold out. He was sold out to his cause. And he had decided if he fell, that was just the fate it would be. He was sold out to make that journey. If he stumbled and fell, he was going to die. And his fate would be just as bad as my fate would be if I should lose my relationship with the Lord. However, there are people in life that walk on and have lost that relationship with the Lord, but you don't know it by looking. People are, they've checked out. They're not sold out. I think we've all at one time or another had to evaluate where we were in our walk with God. Were we absolutely sold out, or did we have a plan B? Do you have a plan B tonight? Are you sold out? There have been many people come through this church that have come and gone, and I'm not wanting to pick on anybody tonight. I know what the Lord put on my heart, and there have been people that have come and gone because they had a plan B, and the plan B became more favorable to them than plan A. This is it. There is nothing other than living for the Lord. We We have some people in the Bible that have given us really good examples of what it means to be sold out. Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 21, said he turned back from him, talking about Elijah, took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. That man was absolutely sold out. He made sure there was nothing to go back to. The devil will try to make you think you've got something to go back to. I remember about 12 or 13 years ago, my son had been backslid, and God renewed him. I remember him calling me. It was one Sunday night. Pastor was beginning to preach. I've told the story before. And he started to preach about angels in your future. Anybody that's ever heard it know what a stirring message that is? And I remember thinking to myself, oh, Lord, I wish my son could hear this message. And toward the end of the service, my phone vibrated, and I looked down. It was my son. And I went to the foyer because I knew he knew I was in church. And I'm like, hey, buddy, what's up? He goes, Daddy, I don't want to be lost. And I'm like, okay, there's hope. You don't come to God on your own will. You come to God because he has drawn you. The scripture says that no man comes to God except the Spirit draw him. And he made the decision that he was going to live for God. And when he got the Holy Ghost, he cut everybody off. He changed his phone number. He didn't answer any calls from his friends because he knew that being young and tender in the Lord, he was going to need every bit of strength he could to stand against the draw of the enemy. If he had kept contact with all his friends, who knows what would have happened. But he had enough, at least, backbone at the moment to make that stand and to cut all ties with the past. We don't make it with God tying ourselves to the past. You don't take a boat and tie it to the dock and take off without untying the boat. This is a trip that we are not going to make it tied to the dock. We're not going to make it with the anchor down. This is a trip that's got to be made with all ties removed. Ties to the world, ties to the past, ties to things that hold us down. It's time to let go. It's time to go on that journey with the Lord. Gehazi, a servant to Elisha, a man that sold out wholeheartedly. The Syrian, Naaman, came to Elisha looking for healing. And we all know the story. He came bearing gifts. And Elisha's like, I don't want none of your gifts. He didn't even speak to him. He sent the servant out and said, go tell him to go dip in the river. And it made him mad, but eventually he went and he came back and offered gifts. And Elisha's like, no. And so he left, and Gehazi decided, time for plan B. How long is this old prophet going to be around? And what's going to happen when he kicks over and I got no way to make for myself? I'll be back to find another prophet to tend to. And so he chased the prophet, or he chased the Naaman down, and he said, hey, we've had a little something come up. How about plan B? And that leprosy that God had healed Naaman of became Gehazi's reward for his plan B. We get tied up in things that come around and we think, oh, you know what? What is wrong with a little, you fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. What's wrong with a little, God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy. And people get tied up on that plan B that could be anything from being happy to being who knows what. And we've let go of the main cause. The main cause is to keep him first and to serve him with all of our heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether have sufficient to finish it? When we decide that we're going to live for the Lord, somewhere we got to count the cost. Are we willing to give and to do what it takes to have that relationship with the Lord? When I decided 32 years ago I was going to marry my wife, I had to make some decisions. She had to make some decisions. She had to decide if I was him or not. I had to decide if she was her, if she was the one. When we decide we're going to live for the Lord, we've got to decide if he is it or if there is another. The disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and said, hey, John wants to know, are you him Or do we need to look for another one? There is no place to look for another one. This is it. There is nothing else. The problem with having a plan B is it tends to reflect a little bit of doubt that you have about plan A. It tends to reflect that you got a little bit of doubt that you're going to be able to make it. Now, in the computer world, having a backup plan is smart, because your backup plan in the computer world is to restore you completely back to plan A. It's not something else different. It's just like you were to begin with. If you've got a plan B, it should include prayer and fasting, more Bible reading, more time in communication with the Lord, because that plan B will bring you back to a better plan A than you ever had before. The proper planning for a plan B in the computer world is a big, heavy resource. I remember the tail end of my disaster recovery career, I sold backup software for Iron Mountain, and it was really hard to get people to realize how important it was for their business to have a backup plan. They didn't realize it was like, hey, we've already got something. Well, have you tested it lately? Oh, we ain't never tested it. That's not how you run a business. If you have a backup plan for a business and you don't test it, do you know our backup plan of prayer and fasting? We need to test that regularly. The scripture says that somebody brought a sick young boy. He was in bad shape, brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't do nothing for him. And Jesus took care of the boy, and he said, this only happens by prayer and fasting. You haven't been taking care of plan A. What has happened? You have lost power with plan A. People with plan Bs do not put their all into plan A. They do not put their all into plan A. When we get there, when we stand before the Lord, there is one thing that we're waiting to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Nothing else in this world even matters unless you're not interested in hearing that. Our plan to make it to heaven has got to be with that in mind. He's not a liar. God is not a liar. He is not going to. He never has. He never will. He's not going to lie. He is not going to tell you you did good if you didn't. That scares me, because introspection is a very difficult thing to do. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I think I'm a pretty good guy. It don't take very long for me to find somebody that's going to think otherwise. Introspection cannot be done in a grand social occasion. If you're in a crowd, it is impossible to evaluate what you look like. It's impossible to evaluate how you really are. But the place of introspection is when you get alone with the Lord. When you get alone with the Lord and you start talking to Him and He starts talking back. Anybody ever had the Lord talk back to you and tell you, you know what, you really need to work on that plan A a little bit more? You need to put away some of that plan B stuff. That plan B will get you lost. That plan B will buy you a ticket to hell. That's not God's plan, that you plan on something else. Jesus looked at disciples in John chapter 6. He said, will you leave me also? I've said this before. I love quoting this verse. And Peter said, and where would we go? Where would we go? Peter did not have a plan B. He already saw the effect. Well, he saw the effect later on of what a plan B was. When Jesus was being crucified, or up to the point of being crucified, Peter was, he was so sold out, he didn't even know what to do. He had no plan B, so he said, I'm just going fishing. That's all I know. And that's all he had known before he came to the Lord, before the Lord called him from his boat. And he went back there, and Jesus restored him when he told him, go tell the disciples and Peter. And when Peter saw him, he's like, my Lord and my God. He knew that plan A was the only thing that there would ever be. It's important to know the value of plan A. Now that I'm getting closer to retirement age, I didn't say retirement, but retirement age, it's becoming apparent, painfully apparent, that I'm probably going to work until I die. But if I had a plan B as a young person, I might have saved a little more or not spent as much. But on the other side of that, in the spiritual sense, if I had, as a young person, considered what could be gained and a wholehearted plan A of living for the Lord, where would we be now? I look at plan Bs that I've had through my life, sort of not really paying attention. It's one of those things that will surprise you, again, a pitfall, that you had a plan B. Didn't really realize that was back there. Where did that come from? You'd be surprised. Sometimes the devil will pull a quick one on you, and you'll wind up with something that you've been feeding and didn't even realize it. Those are the things that will scare you to death. And the other problem with plan B is sometimes plan B turns into plan A. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me. Demas was a right-hand man to Paul. And finally, plan B got to be so enticing to him, he decided he was going to go do plan B. He said that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. You don't love the Lord if you love the world. That's scary. Is there anything you love more than the Lord? And that's things I have to ask myself regularly. Lord, do I like this more than I like you? Help me to love you with all of my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We shout and holler over that verse. That is a powerful, powerful verse. Followed by an even more powerful verse. Verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. If you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, might, what is left? What is left? The Lord can be all there is to have, but until you let Him be all He can be, what will He be? Plan B? Will He be plan B? Will He be plan A? Will something else fill His place when you find something else that will work? There was a man in the year 1519, way before I was born. His man was named as Cortez. He had quite a story. I was reading a little bit about him. And because of Cortez, the Mexicans speak Spanish. That's the way I understand it, because they spoke another language before then. And Cortez did a really interesting thing. By way of Cuba, he went to the eastern shores of Mexico, landed, got off the boats, and said, burn the ships. Burn them. Now, you know, today that's not a big deal, because you can call Uber, or you can get a cruise ship, or you can get an airplane ticket, go somewhere else. But in that day, that was I think some of the folks probably thought it was a death sentence. But in 2 short years, think back 2 years, see if you can come up with what's happened in the last 2 years. In 2 short years, Cortez took his men and overthrew the Aztec Empire in 2 years, only because he made plan A the only choice. There was no other choice. Do you want to live for God? Do you want to be a Christian? Being a Christian is not just saying you're a Christian. Being a Christian is no more saying you're a Christian than saying you're a mechanic. I have a hard time finding a good mechanic nowadays that can work on my truck anyway. God has called us to be like Him. How can we be Christians except we be like Him? Plan A, plan B. So, if you're seeking the Holy Ghost, if you want the Holy Ghost, you have got to make it plan A. Let's all stand tonight. There are ways we can prevent the pitfalls of a plan B. Number one, believe in plan A. Is this it or is it not it? Is your heart fixed? Psalm 57 and 7, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Do you mean it? You know if you mean it. I have to ask myself all the time, do I really mean this? Am I really sold out? I can't answer for nobody else. I'm the only one that can answer for me. If you're seeking for the Holy Ghost tonight, if you want the Holy Ghost, you have got to decide this isn't just a thing. I've tried many things in life. I've tried many multi-level marketing things. There are people that have tried marriage as a thing, walking into it with the theory of, if this doesn't work, oh, we'll just get a divorce. You ever heard that? I've heard it. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Oh, if I don't like it, I'll just quit. The Holy Ghost, once you try the Holy Ghost, you won't want to quit. As long as you keep it front on your list, you feed it every day and you give it everything you've got, it's going to be something you want more of. And it's available for you. The second way to prevent the pitfalls of a plan B, like I mentioned already, your plan B needs to be to restore plan A to its original or better state. I drive an old truck, and I tend to look at folks that have taken old trucks like mine and done them up, made them look better than they did when they were brand new. And God can make you better than new each time. Each time. You know, you don't have to be backslid or in a bad way to come to the Lord. Matter of fact, it's a good idea for us to come to the Lord on a daily basis. You come to the Lord on a daily basis, and He can make something out of you. He can change you. He can bring things to your attention that need to be changed. God knows what's inside of you. He knows what's inside of me. And deciding to have a plan to restore you better than you were to begin with, that is the plan of the Holy Ghost. The final thing is to recommit to plan A. Are you committed to plan A? Are you committed to living for the Lord? Are you committed to making this your life? Are you committed to making this your eternity? Are you committed to giving this to your family? Brother Morgan mentioned about having a legacy. My grandmother died last year, 99 years old, walked with the Lord for 81 years, passed on the legacy. There was no plan B. She served the Lord with all of her heart. You can have the same legacy in your life tonight, and you can start it right here and right now in this altar, making a commitment to give God everything you got on a daily basis. If you feel the need, if you don't feel the need, it's probably a good idea to find a place to pray tonight. Sometimes when we don't feel the need, it's the most important time to make a move. Usually if you don't feel the need, you've been working on a plan B. It's time to put plan B in the garbage and make sure that plan A is the only choice that we've got to make in our life. God wants to do something with each and every one of us. He wants to make us firebrands. Firebrands filled with the Holy Ghost, reaching our lost and dying world. Let's commit to Him tonight.